Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Rick Allen Ross is a leading cult expert. He's been court recognized as an expert, and he's the founder and executive director of the Cult Education Institute. Rick, and I know you've helped Catherine through this process as well. What are the indicators that a group is a cult?
Well, the single most salient feature is that it's personality driven. So you have somebody at the top who's an absolute authoritarian leader and becomes an object of worship. Whatever the leader says is right, whatever the leader says is wrong, and he or she is in control. And second, the group has a process of indoctrination where that leader gains undue influence to manipulate his or her followers. And then finally, they use that influence to exploit them for their personal benefit. And frankly, in my opinion, Keith Raniere and NXIVM ring all three of those bells.
And I know you told me in the piece another indicator is you're not really allowed to leave. If you leave, the group turns against you.
There's no legitimate reason to leave. If you leave, you're a traitor.
Yeah.
If you decide to be critical of the leader, you're always wrong. And interesting, the leader never takes responsibility for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Keith Raniere would tell his followers, there are no victims. You must take responsibility. But yet he in his current position seems to be claiming, I am a victim of persecution, and takes no responsibility for his actions.
Short on time, but quickly, how long does it take to, quote, what are there, do you think, in the United States?
Oh, thousands, with millions of people involved.
Thousands. To me, one of the...
Well, hello, and welcome back to True Crimes Podcast. Today is our final day of V-Week. It's Vanguard's birthday, and I'm here again with Roberta Glass. Hey, Roberta, how are you doing?
Very well. This is going to be an exciting episode. We'll end with a bang.
Well, I hope so. So I just want to say, Rick Ross, I got a little cut off there, but he was saying that there are thousands of cults, and he's an expert in cults, and... court recognized expert, and he says without a doubt NXIVM is a cult. And he went on, I have another clip where he talks about the brainwashing. You want to start that one?
Sure.
There we go.
People use the term brainwashing and they really don't understand what that term means. That's a popular culture word that came out of the 50s from a journalist by the name of Hunter. But what it really means is it's a synthesis, if you will, of coercive persuasion and influence techniques that have been crystallized and focused like a laser on people within certain groups to break them down, change them, and then freeze them in a certain mindset. Now, Lifton was a professor at Harvard Medical School and also the John Jay School of Law. So he basically, in the 22nd chapter of the book, Thought Reform and the Psychology of Totalism, came up with 8 criteria to determine whether or not a thought reform program is ongoing. And these criteria are basically a snapshot of the engine that drives what we call brainwashing. And it's composed of milieu control, which is control of the environment, everything you see and experience.
Okay, so I just want to stop right there. The first one is the milieu, so they control your environment. So NXIVM did this with their 14, 16-hour workshops every day for 10, 20, 30 days in a row. And they did this with, like you were saying, the readiness drills. They have to be on call all the time.
That
right.
Was in DOS, where the DOS slaves had to be ready to answer their call any time of day or night, and their master would check on this with a readiness drill, like calling you at 2 a.m. in the morning with an assignment. They were given assignments, like sometimes it would be like editing, and sometimes the assignment would be sex with Raniere.
And also controlling their weight and making sure they're only eating 800 calories or less. And getting weighed in, and if they gained weight, they would be punished. So that's controlling their daily routine. And also, they had to ask permission to go to sleep, right?
Right. And also, many of them moved into that Albany area. to be closer to Keith. So it changed, you know, their actual physical, you know, landscape too.
Right, and wearing the sashes, I don't know if you consider that one as well, the little uniform they wore, the sashes.
Yeah, true.
Okay,
they all
so the
kind
next
of dress
one.
Alike.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
They all kind of dress alike, the women. You can see, like, you see them on stage in, like, the performance. They all kind of have
okay.
that same natural type look.
Oh, right, right.
And
yeah, no makeup and everything, yeah. Okay, let's go to the next one.
People use the term brainwashing, and they really don't understand what that term means. It's a popular
oh, no, it started at the beginning.
Word that came out of the 50s from a journalist by the name of Hunter. But what it really means is it's a synthesis, if you will, of coercive persuasion and influence techniques that have been crystallized and focused like a laser on people within certain groups to break them down, change them, and then freeze them in a certain mindset. Now, this was Lipton was a professor at Harvard Medical School and also the John Jay School of Law. So he basically, in the 22nd chapter of the book, Thought Reform and the Psychology of Totalism, came up with 8 criteria to determine whether or not a thought reform program is ongoing. And these criteria are basically a snapshot of the engine that drives what we call brainwashing. And it's composed of milieu control, which is control of the environment, everything you see and experience. Then mystical manipulation. Things appear to happen spontaneously, but in fact they are really contrived, scripted, and not spontaneous. Then there is the demand for purity, which is the demand that a person divide their entire life into black and white, the pure and the impure. There are no shades of gray, no middle ground. And then the cult of confession, that is that there is no area of a person's life that they are entitled to privacy, that the group has the right to demand confession about almost anything, even about things that may not really even be true. There is a kind of element of purging going on where everything about a person's life is being examined and being confessed to the group. And then Lipton calls another of his criteria the sacred science, which is that what the group teaches is absolute, that it cannot be questioned, and that anyone who questions it is unholy, unscientific, absolutely wrong. So that this is an absolute. And then finally, the most devastating of Lipton's criteria is the dispensing of existence. And that is literally the right to exist. The person who leaves the group ceases to exist. If they come back, they can exist again. Family and friends that question the group, you can cut them off, dispense with their existence. So you take these 8 criteria, and it doesn't matter what the group says it's doing. If 6 of the 8 are ongoing and evident, it's enough to run a thought reform program.
Okay, yeah, sorry about that. I guess I can't stop it and have it continue again, unfortunately. But just to go through real quick, like what he said about the mystical, with the second one was mystical influence, and that's where Keith Raniere used with his ideas of reincarnation. He claimed to know all the past lives of its members.
Right.
And also,
true.
And the purity, being pure. He told the women that they couldn't sleep with anyone else, or that his health would be affected, or he could die.
And that also women were naturally monogamous, and men were naturally polyamorous. And so they were expected to be celibate and only sleep with him, at least the DOS slaves. That was the criteria there.
Uh-huh.
With him or their, you know, master, obviously, mistress.
Uh-huh. And in the regular, even in regular Nexium as well, they had anyone who didn't do their program, they had disintegrations. That was a big deal with them. You were to be having disintegrations meant, you know, you were not pure. And then the cult of confession, I mean, all of their modules with ESP was about confessing your painful memories and your humiliating times and offering collateral with videos where you confess secrets of yourself and your family. So that was point four of his brainwashing. And the sacred service, sacred science was, of course, the rational inquiry. You couldn't question it. It's always right. And because Keith Raniere was the most intelligent man in the world, or vanguard, and one of the top three problem solvers. So that's the sacred science one, which is point five.
Right. How could he not be? How could he ever be wrong? You're so much dumber than he is.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one was a dispersion of existence. Dispensing of it, saying you don't exist anymore. You cannot. So that means, what Nexium would do, not only make you not exist when you left, they would actively destroy your existence with your collateral. They would release all the lies that you put up on videotape and lies about your family and letters to, make you look bad and destroy your all your relationships in your life.
Were they
financially
go after you? Well, if you spoke up against a group, they would go after you and sue you. And Rick Ross was not in Nexium, but they went after him. He was an enemy of Nexium. He was in litigation with them for a long time.
So and he's an expert in this, in cults. So he's already determined that they are a cult, and all of the brainwashing or the thought reform programs, that Nexium did all of it. They did brainwashing, and they were a cult. So now, to contrast this, unfortunately, I can't stop it while he's talking, so we're going to have to listen to the whole thing and then go back and then respond to it. So here is what Keith Raniere's lawyer said on the Megyn Kelly show. So let me get this up.
Let's talk Nexium. Okay. Was this a cult?
I don't view it as a cult. I don't think it really matters at the end of the day if it's a cult or not. It's a successful self-help program. The key with Nexium, it's really an ethical view. And if I had to put it in the smallest of terms, it's taking full responsibility for every aspect of your life, never seeing yourself as a victim of something else.
But when you look at what Nexium is accused of, it certainly sounds and acts like a cult. You've got Raniere, who goes by Vanguard. You've got alleged masters and slaves. You've got no men. The women are expected to have sex with Raniere and only Raniere, and he can have sex with whomever he wants. There's the shunning of defectors.
Well, all right, so now there's Nexium and then there's DOS, and they're two separate things. Because DOS is operating on the premise that for so long, women have calibrated their value in regard to men. I want to make as much as a man. I want to be respected like a man is respected. DOS takes that idea and says, let's take men out of the sentence. You know, now, the ideas were inspired by Raniere. We don't walk away from that. We admit that. But DOS is a sorority, a group of women, and we're going to have some extreme protocols. Admittedly, some of us are going to brand ourselves. Absolutely, 100% voluntarily.
Did Keith Raniere know anything about DOS?
He knew about DOS, yes.
He did?
Yeah,
did he know about the branding?
I think he knew about every part of it.
Did he enjoy that?
I don't think he enjoyed it. I think that it was something that the women wanted to do and that he thought was not inappropriate if that's what they wanted to do.
He loved it.
I don't think he loved it. These women wanted to be part of DOS. It was a little extreme. It was a little dangerous. It was a little edgy. It was all those things. That's why they wanted it. And I will be able to put on the witness stand woman after woman who's going to be absolutely believable and credible, who's going to say that. And I think a jury is going to see this my way.
Do you think women like Sarah Edmondson wanted it?
She wanted to be branded. There's
she
no
did.
Doubt. 100%.
She talks about lying there without any anesthesia
cauterized. Wait till we see the video. There's a video.
So the defense to that is it was all consensual.
100%.
But just the notion of getting branded. That's it. The audience is with me. Cult.
Talk to all the football players who have a branding on their arm. Are they all in cults? You know what the difference is? They're men.
Did they
They're
sit around
men.
Naked and having to give collateral personally damaging information before they could be admitted to the secret society where you brand yourself?
I'm not sure how the men were branded. You know why? Because we've never bothered to ask, because they're men.
The are you trying to make this about...
100% I am. Am I trying to?
So this is female empowerment.
100%.
Challenge.
For real. And you know what? And it's the government and the media are coming down on the women of DOS. Women have a secret society. Women brand themselves. And they're poor little dears and they're victims. When men do it, they're Marines.
You know why? Because the women have come forward saying, this was not consensual. I was blackmailed.
Out of 150.
Why do you have to give personally damaging collateral in order to get into DOS?
That's what they chose to do. I don't know. I've never joined DOS.
Why would they be threatened with the public release of that so-called collateral if they wanted to leave the group or criticize DOS or NXIVM?
They weren't threatened, and they don't say they were threatened.
They do. Yes, there are allegations to that effect.
I haven't seen them, and they're certainly not in the indictment. What's in the complaint is one woman said, I was afraid that my collateral would be released. What's significant, she doesn't say someone told me my collateral would be released.
What about the women who have left NXIVM who claimed that they had women who directed them to have sex with Ranieri? And that they did so because they felt it was the price of membership.
Their text messages with Keith Ranieri as to whether they were forced to have sex with him. It's all nonsense. It's lies.
They're asking to have sex with him? Is that what you're suggesting?
100%.
But do you understand the allegation by the government is that these women have been brainwashed into believing that is their only currency within this group?
And brainwashing exists?
Absolutely.
I wish it did. If I could brainwash myself, I'd go to the gym every day. These are choices that adult, smart, educated women are making. I don't buy brainwashing. If that's the government's theory, they're going to lose.
What about Keith Ranieri and his tenuous relationship with the truth? He claimed he graduated from high school and started RPI at age 16. That's not true.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when he started.
He claimed he could make full sentences by the age of one.
If exaggerating about one's resume is a crime, I think we're all in trouble.
No, I'm not.
I'm probably not either, but
yeah.
Other than the two of us.
This guy is a liar. He has a long history of lying about himself and his achievements, including his time at RPI, where he was a 2.2 GPA and not a triple major who set records at the school.
That doesn't worry me in the least.
No?
No. It has nothing to do with the case.
Catherine Oxenberg has been on a high-profile crusade to come after Keith Ranieri and NXIVM.
Right.
What does Ranieri think of her?
I think he has respect for her role as a mother. He believes she's genuinely concerned about her daughter, India, as we all are.
When we come back.
Okay. So that is the interview with the lawyer. So unfortunately, I couldn't stop it throughout, but just to make some points in there, he tries to deny that cults exist, and he tries to deny brainwashing. He talks about DOS, but he didn't mention that DOS stands for Master Over Slave Women in Latin.
Well, the difference between DOS and a football team getting tattoos is the football team is not worshiping the coach. You know what I mean? Is not doing it at the request of a coach and starving themselves at the request of the coach, and the coach is not, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's not even a good analogy, but he's trying to get men on his side, men who are angry at women for wanting equal rights, and then getting special treatment. So that's what he's exploiting there.
Did you notice he flips between calling the women poor little dears that are complaining about branding to they were strong, smart, successful women who made these choices? So you make up your mind. Are they poor little dears?
They can't be both. And I love that it's such a lawyer's mind that he has there when he says, she was afraid her collateral would be released. Well, was she told, you know, is it in writing somewhere that her collateral would be released? You know, can she prove that she was told that her collateral would be released, or is it something that she assumed? So was it
Well, they say that right when they bring him in. They say, you want to join our thing, you have to give us collateral so we're sure you won't tell anybody. They say that from the beginning. They're going to hold it over them. It's a threat over them.
Or hold that. You know, and besides your testimony, is it in writings? I mean, that's just sort of like the lawyer manipulation around it. But, you know, he's not the only one saying it doesn't matter if it's a cult. And Vanessa Gregoriadis in the New York Times, when she wrote about it, she doesn't like to call NXIVM a cult. But if you don't understand it in the terms of a cult, it loses all meaning. That is what it is. It fits every criteria, pretty much every criteria of the cult. So
yeah,
if you
and brainwashing,
don't
put
a cult, being a NXIVM apologist, in my opinion, you know, my opinion.
Yes, he's going to try to just try. You cannot look at this accurately without bearing in mind that it is a cult and there is brainwashing going on with all of this and that these women were victimized.
Right, and the fact that Keith Raniere taught that there are no victims until you get arrested, apparently, and you're sitting in Metropolitan Correctional, then you're a victim of
everybody. He's a victim, of course. He's a victim of the morality police. They were saying that in the beginning. Oh, the government's being the morality police. Because he's not taking responsibility for anything. He's trying to get out of everything, weasel his way out of everything. And another point is, his lawyer says, about him lying about being his IQ. He never even took the IQ test. His girlfriend Gina did. He lied. But this is what brought people into NXIVM. They thought he was the smartest man in the world. They thought he was the top three problem solver in the world. They thought he had a triple major, setting records, blah, blah, blah. None of that was true. But that was what brought people into NXIVM. So that's very important.
Right.
He's not just lying on his resume.
Exactly. It's false advertising. It's
the reason they listen to him.
Is a false business. In addition to being a cult, it's bringing people in under, you know, false pretenses.
Pretenses. Yeah, and that's why they listened to him, because he was the smartest man in the world. You couldn't argue with him. You had to do what he said. He knew better than you. I mean, he's like an expert. It's like a doctor.
Right.
It's like somebody, you know, yeah.
Are you going to pay thousands of dollars for a guy who started a business that got shut down by the government for being a scheme?
A pyramid scheme,
but
right. Yeah, exactly.
For a... seminar with a guy who's the smartest man in the world? Maybe he has something to teach you. So he had to lie.
And the lawyer lying about Sarah Edmondson, he said, she wanted to get, she's told every major news news venue that she did not want to be branded and it was horrible and she wanted to run away, but she couldn't. And she ended up going through it, but she didn't want to. And later, and he's sitting, the lawyer is sitting there saying, "Oh yeah, she wanted it. Yeah, she wanted to get branded." Even how can you lie about that? I mean, she's already been everywhere saying.
Once again, denying her own victimhood, which is one of the only things a victim has, is being able to call themselves a victim, the knowledge that they were a victim. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the perpetrator tries to play a victim. Yeah.
Part of NXIVM to say that everything bad, every time you were a victim in life, a real victim in life, something, it was somehow your fault, and you're not a victim. There's no victim.
Yeah, they're re-victimizing the victim. Yeah.
Right. It sounds a lot like a pedophile, which he is. You know, someone who would abuse and manipulate a child. Right. So I thought it was very interesting. The thing that's most important about that interview with Mark Agnifilo, Raniere's lawyer, is that he says that he has tons of women to get on the stand and say that it was their idea to get branded. And that will tell you that they are preparing women to perjure themselves on the stand. Because it's untrue. It's absolutely untrue. It was the false story. This is a story that they had lined up. If they got caught, Allison Mack was going to say it was her idea. Kathy Russell was going to take the blame for a lot of other things, financial things. She was the fall person too. So they had a system set up should they get caught. And the big thing was the branding was the women's idea. So they're preparing for some perjury.
Yeah, they've been planning for this, like you said. Yeah. Yeah, and then it looks like it's just going to go down hook, line, and sinker if they don't prove the brainwashing and the cult status. But it's already been established by the experts. And so hopefully that's...
Yeah, you wonder if he's going to sway one juror, if he'll be able to sway one juror with his defense. I don't know. You get one man Bill Cosby thing, who said she brought him, like, incense or something like that, you know, that meant that the sex was consensual. You know, if you get one guy like that who doesn't really understand a cult or doesn't understand, who believes one of these women who's lying on the stand and says, well, that one woman said, you know, could convince one juror.
Right. And also the lawyer. And the lawyer starts throwing things out, so many lies he throws out, you know, that first he says, oh, I don't think it's a cult. I think it's an ethical group, he called it. So he's trying, you know, right from the beginning. And then he says 3 out of 150 women, he claims, only 3 have come forward. But I think a lot more than that has come forward. I mean, if you count, you know, the 2 girls that he raped, statutorily raped, you got his ex-wife that he also raped and harassed her family. You've got Sarah Edmondson, that's 4 already, right? I'm counting.
Right.
But I mean, they're not coming out and giving their identities because they know they'll be harassed by NXIVM. So, but you can't tell me he's already lying about that number. I can already name 4 off the top of my head that would be that have been victims of him, of Keith Raniere.
Yeah. Yep.
But I guess he's seen DOS.
It's amazing. It's amazing that they can lie with such just so easily. Amazing, but that's his job, you know. He just wants to win. That's his into, and he's a, in my opinion, just someone who maybe, you know, threw his moral compass in the ocean upon graduating law school. If he ever had one.
But that last bit though, the very last thing he said, they said about Catherine Oxenberg. I mean, knowing the history of Keith Raniere and Claire Bronfman and how they went after all their enemies and how they took them to court, you know, Scientology style, just making frivolous lawsuits and perjuring themselves to bring, you know, try to harass people and anybody who left and et cetera. And to know how vindictive that Keith Raniere is going after his enemies, he actually hired Frank Pallardo and offered him money to go out to do things to his enemies, the smash list we mentioned earlier. But the lawyer here in this interview says, oh, you know, Keith Raniere understands what Catherine's going through and sympathizes with her and her daughter. Like, oh, he cares about Catherine.
So his concern for India Oxenberg by starving her, by branding her, by making her do penance, by answering to a master. That's how Raniere shows his concern for Catherine Oxenberg's daughter, India. I mean, how ridiculous is that? But they're not. It will show you how effective Catherine Oxenberg is, that they won't go after, they'll go after all the other enemies. They'll discredit Sarah Edmondson. They'll discredit everyone else. But Catherine Oxenberg is not to be touched. And that's because
not
she's
right
so effective.
Now. But if his lawyer got him off for this somehow, then you know they go after her afterwards. If somehow gets off for this, you know they go after her. She's already getting threats from Mexico. She's getting threats from Mexico,
True.
So maybe their Mexican arm is doing
right.
it.
Yeah.
You know he wants to get her bad.
Yeah, I bet she is public enemy, one of the high up on the enemy list of NXIVM, Catherine Oxenberg.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
most
you know it.
Through Catherine Oxenberg. If you see a headline that says sex cult, a lot of people find it too distasteful to read. But Catherine Oxenberg on Megyn Kelly, that's accessible. You know?
Yeah. Thank goodness for them. Yeah. It was a good show she put on. It was an excellent show. They did excellent. Both of them is excellent. Really got the word out there. Really informed people in a very, very good way. You know, very strong argument. So hopefully it helps. Hopefully it helps to cult members and brainwashers, you know, in prison where they belong.
Yeah. And it's going to be a really fascinating trial because I haven't seen a case like this in New York with this many defendants and this big a story in a long time. There's a surrounding a cult. It seems like these cult leaders never really have to answer to their, like, the Rajneesh just, like, got out of the U.S. and never had to answer to anything he did, really. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think
of
another trial cult leader besides Warren Jeff.
Charlie Manson. Charles Manson. Maybe.
Charlie Manson. But in a while, you know what I mean? Warren Jeffs was a while ago. Like, there hasn't been a big trial like this of a cult leader. Most of them don't answer for their abuse.
Right, and there are thousands of Rick Ross says there's thousands of cults out there, so there's more out there. But I think it's very important that people learn about this because there are thousands of cults in America. You know, this is going on.
And every Scientology is a cult, and it goes on and on, and it's an abusive cult, and it goes on and on and on and on. You know?
It's, right, right.
I don't.
They work the same way.
Lawrence is a little conspiratorial about it. I don't understand why the government can't shut down Scientology.
And the courts need to start recognizing brainwashing. I mean, it's just not, you know, then justice isn't being served if they try to deny brainwashing exists and that cults exist. And but just like Keith Raniere's lawyer said, if they try to claim there's brainwashing, then they're going to lose. It's like, no, well, they shouldn't be, you know, because
right.
It's real. It's going on. It's been going on. It's happening. It happened here. So I don't know why that's not being recognized. It should be. And I hope that this case does recognize it.
Right.
And
I hope so, too. But you look at the history of – oh, I'm sorry. Are we out of time?
No, go ahead. Finish what you're going to say.
You look at the history of Patty Hearst, that trial where she tried to argue brainwashing. That failed. It's like anti-American to say that – or it's against the American ideal that you own your own mind and that you take responsibility for your decisions and that you're running your own ship. It's very disturbing to Americans to think that you couldn't be or that someone would be running your life for you. So,
which is why I recommend people should watch Rick Ross's videos on YouTube. The Education Institute, because he explains how very easy it is to become brainwashed and how he's all kinds of people from all walks of life it happens to, including most educated to not, and that it's the persuasion techniques that are used in advertising are used in cults, and they're very effective and they can work on anyone. They can happen to anyone. But like you said, we have run out of time. As usual, it's been wonderful talking to you about this, Roberta, and I'm sure we will talk again sometime in the future about this story. So thank you for being
on. I think we gave Vanguard his birthday episode that he always dreamed about.
Oh, yes. Happy birthday, Vanguard. This is for you, dedicated to you.
Thanks, Liz.
Yeah?
Thanks, Liz.
Okay, thanks. Have a good night. Bye.
You too.
On voyage.
Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery. Today we're taking down part 4, where we are taking the next step, the final step, towards becoming a Gryffindor prefect. You will receive a prefect badge and be given access. Prefix bathroom. Yes. Thank you. We've done it. We've become a prefect. And as a reward, we've earned our prefect badge.
Here's the thing. I've been shot at because of my beliefs. I've had to make choices. Should I have bodyguards? Should I have them armed or not? I've had people killed because of my beliefs. And because of their beliefs. And because of things that I've said. And I'm mindful of that. And I'm leading an organization that's done something very good. You might say, you know, this is an old Christian adage, which I think is very true. The brighter the light, the more the buzz.
Just a small announcement. You're pretty close to going to hell.
Right. So I think what we have is a very bright light.
We're all all working together, and no one is ever punished, and no one is ever...
You'll be my slave.
Told that they're wrong or they're bad, and...
You'll be my footstool. And at my command, you'll lick the dog shit from my boot heel.
And I'm not used to that. I'm used to the objective being met. I'm used to having, like, strict, hard, fast deadlines and lots of fear and punishment if I don't get it right, and...
Well